We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
On this episode of the Aggies All the Way podcast, I was able to catch up with Sam Merrill, and we talked about what this last week has been like for him, took a look back at the Mountain West Conference tournament, and a look forward at what he's doing now to prepare for a professional career. So enjoy the interview. All right, Sam, how you doing, man?
I'm doing well, just trying to socially distance myself.
You getting tired of, I know you've been a popular man these last few days. You said, well, this is interview number 6 today?
Yeah, it's a lot of the exact same questions, so.
Yeah, I'll see if I can mix it up a little bit. But, you know, you're a popular man right now, and for understandable reasons. It's kind of been, you know, clearly an unprecedented week in college sports, and we'll definitely talk a little bit about what this week has been like for you. But let's start with the good. And that's last week of the Mountain West Tournament. I know it feels like it was, a month ago, yeah. But it's 10 days ago that you hit that shot against San Diego State to win the tournament. But, and of course, that's what people are going to remember. But that entire tournament was really special. Have you had much of a chance to kind of sit back and look at what happened in that tournament and kind of reflect on the fact that that's going to be remembered through the rest of Utah State history?
Yeah, it was a special tournament. It was also a very stressful tournament because we had two games where we were double-digit favorites and starting with New Mexico. And everyone knows how we play against New Mexico. They don't even have to press us, and we'll throw the ball all over the place. It's just a thing that we do with New Mexico now. And it was, like, eerily similar to last year's quarterfinal game against New Mexico. Almost the exact same.
I had the same thought
where
watching it.
I got my fourth foul with about the same amount of time. They got a lead. I think the biggest lead they had last year was 8. This year was 11. Mm-hmm. But around the same time, it was weird. And then we made a run, and then you play Wyoming, who's just playing out of their minds, and they hit 15 threes against us, and a lot of those were relatively well contested, and we're all the pressure's on us to win that game, and then we finally get a game against San Diego State where it's like let's just go play, like let's just go have fun and go win this thing, and that was a great game, and fortunately we came out on top.
Well, and again, you know, people are going to remember that shot, but the entire tournament was really entertaining from a fan's perspective. I mean, maybe a little too close for comfort, but you know, throughout the season there were a lot of games that kind of came down to the wire that maybe went the other way. Mm-hmm. And so it seems like in the tournament, to be able to pull three games that were close throughout, I know that you guys led throughout the Wyoming game, but it was close throughout, and to kind of have what it takes to put the foot on the pedal at the end, it feels like you almost turned a corner during the tournament.
Yeah, we did have a lot of close games this year and lost a few of them, won a few of them. I think we showed the ability to win close games early in the year, and then later in the year sputtered a little bit. Mm-hmm. We showed the ability to come back. We showed the ability to give up leads, which is, I know a lot of fans thought we were notorious for giving up leads, but that every team does that. That's not.
Well, and you had several that went the other way too.
Yeah, exactly. So, but yeah, we did. I feel like we did turn a corner, because normally, what we're very, very good at, I will tell you this, is leading by 10 with 2 minutes left and winning by 4. But you saw with Wyoming, like, we just shut the door on them, and similar with New Mexico, like, we hit that three, Diogo hit that three to take the lead, and they didn't score again, and we did a really good job of that stuff at the end of the tournament.
Well, in a 3-day span, you played 112 minutes, scored 83 points. I get tired walking up Old Main Hill, so I'm trying to figure out if we're the same species. Do you get tired?
I do get tired. I never really felt it that during the tournament. There were never any stretches where, like, I was just huffing and puffing, and that happens usually once or twice a game. But there's so many stoppages in college that all an athlete needs is 15 seconds to recover themselves. And I never really felt like my legs got super tired, which I'm thankful for, and I'm lucky that happened. My legs did get very bruised up, which is a different story, but I don't know. I think I got lucky. I never really felt tired, so that was a good thing.
Well, and I know in the championship game, there was, I think, like a 16-hour turnaround or something between when the game the night before finished and when you guys were playing again. And, you know, you came out, and it was a 27-11 deficit early on. Was that – I mean, do you feel like any of that was maybe the team being a little bit tired, a little bit worn out from the night before? Because then at that point you came out, you hit three straight shots. Diogo hit a three to send it into halftime. What happened where you were able to turn it around there?
I don't feel like, I'm sure tired legs had something to do with it, but we were getting good shots and we were just missing them. And defensively, we were playing fine. Like, they had 27 with, what was it, 2.5 minutes left, which is a solid number defensively, especially against a team like that. So it wasn't like we were playing very bad. We were just missing shots and made a couple defensive mistakes that we didn't need to make, but that's why we were confident, and I finally got, not a good look because I had missed some good looks, but I finally got a shot in the paint because I think I was 1-for-6, but they were all threes, and I finally got like a 10-footer, and that gave me some confidence.
Well, that's really where that game turned around, it felt like, and then, of course, there was a lot of big stuff in the second half. Now, let's talk about the buzzer beater. I've kind of heard Coach Smith's perspective on this and heard him talk about it a little bit, but from your end, I mean, was that the play call all along for you to go ISO and take the final shot? And can you just kind of walk through that play?
Yeah, it was. I'm sure you've heard this, but we hadn't done that all year until the tournament. We just started doing it. And
did he say the same thing in the huddle as he told you against New Mexico or against Wyoming the night before when you just went out and hit a similar shot? I mean,
yeah, like, the reason we started doing it against New Mexico was because with their style that's so, like, herky-jerky and chaotic, they don't really, like, you can get by anybody. And they got some good individual defenders, but I felt like I could just go by anybody. So I told Coach Smith, he asked me, like, what do you want us to run for? And I said, to be honest, just, like, let me go one-on-one. Like, none of these guys can guard me. And that's when we started doing it. And then against Wyoming, I hit a couple really tough shots. And then, so by that point, like, I was so confident. Same basket. Same situation. I was just so confident that I was going to be able to get a shot that I wanted and that I was going to make it.
Well, and I think, you know, with Wyoming, we saw that's a team that shot poorly all season long and then really came alive and couldn't miss a three-pointer to save their lives against you. Now, I'm not an athlete, so I can't describe it myself, but feels like when you see a few shots go down like that, it's tough to miss. Is that what happened to you in the tournament?
Yeah, for sure. Like, if you watch the Wyoming game and just watch me in the second half, every time they make a three, every time they make it, I'm just like, oh, you've got to be kidding me. They made another one.
Like, this wasn't on the scouting report.
But, yeah, I had a similar thing. Like, two of those shots that I hit over Jake in the second half, like, were just like stupid, just probably not very good shots. And that the last three I hit against Wyoming, I just remember throwing the ball up and just knowing it was gonna go in. So when I got that opportunity against San Diego State, I was pretty confident.
Well, I imagine that. Well, you said you guys hadn't run that play, you hadn't taken that shot very often. I imagine it's probably a shot you've taken 100 times in the driveway as a kid. I mean, have you? You said that all week you kind of dreamed about or had hoped for that opportunity. Had you dreamed about that scenario your whole life?
Yeah, definitely. I think every basketball player wants an opportunity like that. And every time I play I used to always play one-on-one with Crew and Abel. Mm-hmm. And they're both obviously a little quicker than me because they're smaller, but similar to with KJ Fagan, like, I'm taller than both those guys. So that's the kind of shot that I take over those guys all the time when we're playing one-on-one, just because I can get that shot any time. So every player dreams that opportunity. And I had been hoping to get that chance. Like, I know Coach Smith talked about how he dreamt about it. I don't know about that, but I literally spent all night like hoping that I was going to get the chance to win us that game. And somehow the odds worked in our favor.
Yeah, I won't doubt what Coach Smith says. Were you fouled?
I thought I was. He definitely hit my hand. I mean, you've seen photos of that.
Doesn't matter, but
whether he landed in my area space is up to you guys. But fortunately, it went in. I don't know what would happen if that hadn't gone in.
Felt like everyone in the arena thought that Malachi Flynn shot was going to go in.
I did too.
It was right on line. The bounce even looked like it was going in. But I know that you grew up an Aggie fan, and I grew up in this valley, idolizing players like J.C. Carroll, like Spencer Nelson. What does it mean to you to know that your name is going to be in that conversation for the rest of time? I mean, that kids are out there in their driveway right now replicating that shot.
Well, I think every player always says, I'll never be as iconic, and I'm using quote signs here, as those guys. But just to be in the conversation as those guys that I looked up to and loved watching play as a kid, it was my dream as a kid. And my dream was to play in the NBA, but it was my goal as a kid to be one of these kind of guys. And it wouldn't have happened if we hadn't have gotten a great coach and found a way to win some games. So that's the most important thing.
Well, in the Mountain West had their tournament a week earlier, and I know originally most Aggie fans, and I don't know about the team themselves, but a lot of Aggie fans were like, oh, this is stupid. Why would we play this early before the tournament? Turns out to be a major blessing, because we see almost every other tournament either get cut short or not even happen at all. That's got to give you a little bit of solace that even though the season didn't end the way that you had hoped and you're not going to the tournament, the fact that you still got that opportunity to go out and win a Mountain West title and there's going to be a banner hanging up because of it, it's got to be pretty cool to think about.
Yeah, we spent all year complaining about it. I guess there were some positives to it, just having the week off. But
sure.
In hindsight, it's a great decision by the Mountain West. And I don't know what I would have done if our season would have been canceled after a quarterfinal game or after a semifinal game. So we're grateful that did transpire that way.
Well, and short of going on a run in the NCAA tournament, it's hard to think of much better way for a career to end. You said that, I think at some point after the game, I remember you saying that, you know, you guys had taken down a team that was projected to be a one seed, so why couldn't you go out and beat anybody? You have confidence to beat anybody in the tournament. How far could this team have gone?
Well, that's a good question. Unfortunately, we'll never know. But like I said, we felt like we could have beaten anybody, and we felt like we were playing some really good basketball. And another thing is we weren't going to have to worry about any of the new stuff that comes with an NCAA tournament, because we played in the last year. Like, we just had one. We were going to have just one objective, and that was to go win. And it wasn't about, you know, how cool this all is and all that stuff. And unfortunately, we didn't get that chance, but I think we could have done something special.
Well, it felt like
every team's going to say that, obviously, but right. I truly believe that we could have.
And it felt like it was something you talked about all year long, that, you know, it's not enough to just get there. We got to get there and win. Mm-hmm. So what was the moment for you that you found out that the tournament was going to be canceled, and what was that moment like?
So I was on my way up to practice. We had practice scheduled for 3:15, I think, and it was probably 2:20-ish. So I was on my way up, and we knew it was going to come at some point.
Sure.
So I was kind of hoping it would come before practice so I wouldn't have to practice just because, like, it was inevitable.
Finish practice and then they're like, oh, by the way.
Yeah, that would have been awful. But actually, Coach had just sent us a text.
Okay.
And he had said, hey, guys, like, we know what's probably coming. Mm-hmm. I know for some of you guys it's going to think, like, why are we even here? So he told us he had switched up practice and was just going to do skill stuff. But got a text from crew, actually, who said, hey, there's your tweet. So I looked at Twitter and saw it, and that was it.
Now, for me, it was when I saw that Rudy Gobert had contracted the coronavirus that I immediately knew that's probably it for basketball this year. Mm-hmm. Did you have a moment where you kind of realized it's probably not going to happen?
Yeah, when they suspended the NBA season, I figured – if one college basketball player or a coach gets it, then it's for sure done. And then I woke up and all the tournaments had been canceled.
Yep.
The MLB had canceled. MLS, NHL, they had all canceled. And that's when I knew, like, it's going to be a matter of hours before this comes out.
So this last weekend would have been, I mean, I'm sure just full of practices, prep. You would have had the selection show on Sunday. Mm-hmm. I don't know, maybe today or tomorrow you'd be flying off to play a game. What's all of your time been? I mean, besides talking to media, what have you been doing instead?
Been trying to get out on the golf course. The weather, finally this week, I think it's going to turn around. But
it's beautiful today.
I went home right after we met. I decided I was going to take the weekend off, just make sure I get healthy. Just kind of process all this and just started the agent process. Been working through that and talking to people. And that's what my weekend's been like. A lot of interviews, a lot of phone calls, and a lot of sitting around.
Well, I know that there's probably a ton of uncertainty because the NBA doesn't even know what's next for them. If the season's going to run till August, or if they're going to have a season, or anything that's going to happen this summer. But so far as you can tell, I mean, what are your next few weeks like?
So, yeah, that's the biggest question is we don't know if, as of right now, the pre-draft schedule's going to go on, but in a week that may be pushed back 3 months. So I'll have an agent within the next week, and then depending on what happens, I'll go out to either Vegas or Chicago or L.A. and work out there for a couple months and hopefully improve the things that I need to improve and give myself a chance.
Well, you got a little bit of a taste of the NBA draft life last season. You know, you went and worked out with a few different teams and went through some camps. What did you learn from that that got you ready for this year?
Well, the biggest thing, I didn't actually end up working out for anyone. I was going to and then didn't.
Okay.
But
my apologies.
But I did go to that CP3 camp, which was similar, and got the chance to play in front of scouts and play with some of the best guards in the country. And I feel like that was a really good opportunity for me. And I feel like I did a good job showcasing and then did a good job this season. So, again, it's as a fringe guy like me where I think I can get in and I've heard that I can get in, but nothing's guaranteed. It's all about putting in the work and trying to show what I can do.
Well, Sam, I know that, you know, Aggie fans are looking forward to seeing what happens next with you. And, obviously, you know, it was a special, special week last week, and this week maybe not so much. And it's going to be something that Aggie fans remember forever, that your career was able to go out on such a high note despite not having the opportunity to watch this team in the tournament. So I just want to, you know, say thanks for a great career. Thanks for, you know, putting in the time at Utah State and representing Utah State well, because not many Aggie players have been able to do it like you did it.
Well, thank you, Jaden. I appreciate that.